I speak to you in the name of the triune God. Amen. Psychologist Robert Firestone wrote these words in an article entitled Life Affirming Death Awareness. Firestone writes, "When I was a teenager, I realized that most people were living as though death did not exist. I saw men and women trivializing their relationships and lives with petty arguments and melodramatic reactions to insignificant events, while failing to notice basic issues of personal identity and ignoring existential realities. Their passivity, conformity, and inward lifestyles indicated their lack of regard for themselves as unique, feeling entities. Entities, beings, people who were all going to die." Firestone is one of the first advocates of what's called death awareness. And I don't claim to be an expert in it. I have a friend who is, and I've relied on her along the way to explain it to me. And the gist is that denying the inevitability of death, living under an illusion of immortality, actually prevents us from valuing life. And it also, as my friend has said, limits our capacity to live with change. If we believe we're immortal, why should we be concerned about how we fill our days? If we think we're never really going to die, does time really matter to us at all? And yet denying death takes a lot of effort, because so much in life pushes the inevitability of death right into our faces. Every change reminds us of it, so we resist. Every Sunday we gather for worship under the image of a dying man, and the instrument of his death is a focal point of our worship Sunday after Sunday. And we dare to call this man's dying day Good Friday. If any people should live with a healthy death awareness, Christians should. We should. Firestone says, facing one's mortality and feeling the appropriate emotions of sadness, anger, and fear can give greater meaning to life and make it all the more precious. This awareness also places experience in perspective and helps to avoid trivializing existence. We can prolong life by what we simply say is good medicine, but were miracles when they were first invented. In the past, when life was naturally shorter, Christians lived with a sense of mortality. Now, it was often macabre and obsessive and oppressive. But our great-grandparents in faith understood each day they lived was a gift to be used wisely, fruitfully, and they would allow occasionally joyfully. And they counted on the gift of eternal life after death, but they understood that they had to live this life and die before they could enter the new life. Jesus really died. He experienced the fear and anguish of dying. He died young, unnaturally, not by accident, without justice. The friends who stayed closest to him, the mothers and daughters and sisters who were his most faithful disciples, saw him die and grieved his death. And we believe, because of all that, we need not fear death. We don't need to, but we still do, because we're human. And Jesus knows our natural fear and holds for us the promise of eternal life, but does not spare us death. Death awareness doesn't mean worrying about how or when we will die. It's about how we live until we die. Accepting mortality takes a huge weight off our backs. Death awareness allows healthy grief. It doesn't mean we don't grieve. It doesn't mean we just shrug off every loss as inevitable. Instead, we grieve naturally and honestly because we are among those who are mortal. We accept grief as part of life and live with it and through it. Christian death awareness relieves us of the burden expressed in that old poem, "I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul," not because we are powerless, but because our fate and the course our souls take are all embraced in God's love. We look at the cross and we ask why Jesus had to die. Surely the Son of God was immortal. If anyone could have cheated death, he could, but he couldn't. And he didn't. Jesus lives with us. Yes, we want to skip ahead to Sunday morning and affirm that against today's darkness. But today is a day to affirm that Jesus dies with us. We will all die, but we won't be alone. That's settled. So then, how should we live? Every time we look at the cross, whether we see Jesus on it or not, the cross is a question mark. How will we live these lives we have to live? How will we use this time that's ours? Remember the words Firestone used to describe what he saw as a critical teenager. Petty arguments, melodramatic reactions to insignificant events, ignoring the deeper issues of living in this world, passivity, conformity, lives turned inward, away from others, carelessness, and denial of feelings. And as an adult, Firestone takes a broader view. He writes of hatred, violence, alienation, and separation of people, and the effort we invest in them and our acceptance of them as inevitable as reality. What a waste of life to live that way. What a waste. Which I suppose many said about Jesus' death on the cross. And maybe the sin we need Jesus to redeem us from most is wasting life by denying death. I doubt we'll ever really understand all that Jesus' death on the cross stands for or accomplishes. I have more questions than answers about it myself. So today, let's stick with these simple truths. Jesus really died. We will all die too. There's no escaping mortality. The only response is to accept it, and then to fill our lives with love and joy and kindness, to live as Jesus lived. Yes, Jesus lives with us. He dies with us too. Amen.